Welcome back to the Disciple Makers podcast. Today we are joined by Karen Roberg and are talking about honoring our parents. The coronavirus has impacted our lives in many different ways, but one significant way has been our proximity to home. And for many college students, it means being home with their parents. For many of us, our teenage years are often marked with rebellion or disagreement with our parents as we long for independence and yet find ourselves under their roof and authority still. But as we enter college, that relationship begins to change as more independence is gained and as we gain some distance and perspective on that relationship. The Bible also has a lot to say about how we should be interacting with our parents. So if you are a Christian, what the Bible says on this topic should motivate the way you relate with your parents in a big way. In our conversation, we walked through the tension of this season and what it looks like to walk through the transition of being an adult child in your parents' home during college. We also discussed the incredible opportunity we have as believers to honor our parents and work out our salvation by serving and caring for them as fellow image bearers created by God. So join us as we discuss these things and more with Karen on the Disciple Makers podcast. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. My name is Caleb Olszewski, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Sarah Evans.
Hello.
Today, we are joined by Karen Roberg. Karen has been working for Disciple Makers for a number of years. Her husband, Brian, serves in our headquarters, and Karen disciples a number of our staff women, as well as some students on campus. In addition to that, she's a parent herself to three beautiful little girls. So thanks for being here, Karen.
Thanks for having me.
A number of months ago, Sarah and I sent out a question to our staff if they had any things they'd be eager to talk about on the podcast. And so Karen got in touch with us about this topic today, which is honoring our parents. And so, Karen, I wonder if we could just start by you sharing with us why you got interested in talking about this on the podcast today and what has led you to considering these things over the years for yourself.
Yeah, well, I was listening to some of the podcasts about suffering and lament and Andy's podcast on how to lean into the COVID season. And I found myself thinking about the students who were at home for spring break and all of a sudden got word that they weren't going to be going back to school. And so they were at home for a longer duration than they were expecting to be, and what that might feel like, the hope deferred, the disappointed expectations, and the prolonged season of being at home in the midst of being in a transitional period of their life, that they're, you know, not children that they were in before college, but they're not fully launched adults independent from their families either. And so, yeah, I was just thinking about the complexity of that situation and the different situations that they might be in and how navigating honoring your parents in this season might be a hardship that some are facing and opportunities for others to just really lean into and take hold of.
Yeah, that's a good point, Karen. When the semester ended in March unexpectedly and everybody got sent home, home can mean a lot of things for a lot of different people. So some students are going back to homes where they have a strong relationship with their parents and they have Christian parents who are faithful, and other people might be on the complete opposite end of the spectrum where home is not a great place, or you know, there's really hard relationships with parents. And so, yeah, this has been a very interesting season where you're doing college life if you're a student and starting to explore that independence, but you're back in your home. And that's just a weird place to be for some.
Yeah. Yeah. And with college students, you know, our students are, their walk with the Lord, you know, is the whole spectrum of new believers to more mature Christians. Even, you know, some of the students by spring break, they have been coming out to our fellowship meetings and Bible studies. All the teaching has been new to them, and the gospel yet hasn't taken root. And so they've been pulled out of this environment where they're learning and growing in the Lord, and now all of a sudden pulled back home. And like you said, their experience at home there's just a realm of diversity in that. And with their parents too, you know, their parents have also been thrown into, you know, this season of loss and disappointed expectations and, you know, used to being able to get up and go do their 9-to-5 job and come home. And so they have their own, you know, situation that they're living as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody's stressed out. Depending on your family situation, you might be literally on top of each other, very crammed. And now you're trying to do life in a very unusual place. But, you know, I think it's helpful to realize the scripture always applies no matter what is going on in our life and in our world. So even just when you think about this topic of parents, you know, what scriptures come to your mind, Karen, as you think about this?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, the honor your father and mother text comes into play. And depending on your background, that can be an easy scripture to swallow, and that can be a hard scripture to swallow. So, you know, my thought process was, where do you go with that? So I was envisioning the parents in their season of stress are now looking at their children being at home and wondering, how are you going to get your studies done? How are you going to graduate? How are you going to search for a job? How are you going to win a job? And, you know, all the angst that parents typically go through is heightened. And now you have the students at home saying, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. And so how do you navigate honoring your parents in that season? And so I think we really have to come back to, well, what is the foundational command? The foundational command is honor your father and the mother in the Lord. And that this command has a promise. It's actually the first command, relational command in scripture in the Ten Commandments. And it comes with a promise that it will go well. And so how does honoring my father and mother in this season go well for me? You know, I remember coming home, graduating from college and coming home and having some things figured out, but not everything figured out. And I remember stumbling awkwardly with my parents over, I just wanted space to figure it out. Yet I felt like they kept probing and asking. And so it was easy for me to interpret that as nagging. And what was helpful for me to learn is how to love and know my parents, that to assume the best about their intentions.
Yeah, so I love where you're starting, Karen, with this foundational commandment, Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So God is telling the Israelite people, I want you to do this. And if you don't, you're going to live a shorter life and you're going to have a harder life. And so it's very interesting that so there's that foundational command. But I think it's interesting, even when you and I were starting to prepare for this, you came up with this whole list. There's actually a lot of places in scripture that talk about parents. I'm just going to read a few that you had sent me, you know, Deuteronomy 27:16. Cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed with contempt. Like, that's not even like showing violence. That's just, you know, show contempt. Like, my goodness, you know, or Proverbs 1, hear my son, your father's instruction, forsake not your mother's teaching, for they're a graceful garland on your head, pendants for your neck. Proverbs 20:20, whoever curses his father, mother, his lamp will be put into deep darkness. So there's actually like a ton of scripture. So I like that you're talking about, on the one hand, scripture says a lot about relationships, but I also like that you're drawing out in the, so how do we do this? There are parents, but it's just like any other relationship. So any passage of scripture that relates to anger or conflict resolution or problem solving is also going to apply to your parents because they are people. Right. You know, sometimes I do think we forget about that and we feel like, oh man, like, you know, I can problem solve with my roommate. I can work through conflict with my friend or somebody in my Bible study. But my parents are like, that's just a whole other category. So I like that you're saying, no, like all of scripture's wisdom on relating comes to bear as we think about how do we honor our parents. Is that fair? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think that it's really important for us to remember that our parents are created image bearers, just like we are, you know, going back to Genesis. And I think, you know, college students are coming out of the teenage angst period of their life where culture gives them a pass, you know, and even sets them up for, you know, going against their parents and, you know, being the despondent teenager and fighting with your parents, you know. And so it's easy for us to then set up a dichotomy between us and our parents. And we start separating ourselves in those teenage years and believing that our parents are against us rather than for us. And so I think this season, you know, where the students have been growing in the Lord away at college, they really need to remember that the same gospel that they have been learning to accept and believe for themselves is relevant for their parents. And to remember that they too are, whether they're walking with the Lord yet or not, they are made in His image. And so there's parts of who they are that reflect the Lord. And we can look for that and lean in on that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I love this idea that you're drawing out here, Karen, that our parents are people too, and we often don't think about it that way when we're growing up. It's just mom and dad. But as we do grow up and as we start to move into adulthood, there's actually an incredible opportunity for us to get to know our parents. They've always been there. They've always been around. But yeah, we don't think about what was it like for them to raise us? Like, what kind of decisions are they thinking through on a day-to-day basis? And oftentimes they probably want the best for us, right? And so we can consider that in the way that we're interacting with them. And there's a lot of nuance to this. I've certainly had a great time getting to know my parents as I started college and into adulthood and getting to draw out all these things about what makes them who they are and what experiences from their childhoods and teenage years and things have even influenced the way that they act and make decisions and things like that today. So let's talk a little bit more about this nuanced season of kind of moving from being in a child role to being an adult and kind of this weird phase that we often go through in college where we are kind of adult children. We're still in our parents' house, but we're making that transition.
So Philippians, Paul brings in the command in Deuteronomy and applies it to children. And so he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so the honor your father and mother in childhood comes out more so in the obeying our parents that were under their authority. And now, you know, college students are in adulthood. Now that command is more shifting to the honor side. And the word for honor in the Hebrew and the Greek actually means to make heavy or weighty. And so our students are entering into the season where their value for their parents should be coming out now. So they're transitioning from the obeying side of the command to the valuing and showing honor side of the command.
Yeah, maybe we could talk about that for a moment, because part of going away to college is coming into adulthood, is entering this independence in some sense. And it can be very tricky to be that adult child. That's a very weird transitional time period, especially when perhaps on campus you have a lot of authority or autonomy. But then you come home and there are, you know, rules that you haven't necessarily had to follow on campus. And so how can we approach and think about walking that line of being the adult child? And what does it actually really mean to honor and hold our parents as weighty and valuable?
Yeah, so I think it goes back to the Proverbs, you know, where Solomon's saying to listen to my instruction and to forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And so whether our parents have walked with the Lord and are teaching us God's wisdom or not, they have knowledge, they have life experience. And so there is something that we can lean lean in there and glean from them and seek out. And so I think it's in our culture, you know, we hear that kids think that they are know-it-alls, that there's a certain time in life when you think, I know everything and my parents are foolish. And then you reach your 30s and 40s and realize your parents were actually smart to begin with. I think we need to throw off, you know, that myth in our culture and look for ways to move in and to glean from our parents. You know, ask them what their experience was like. Find out what knowledge they do have and that they can offer. You know, if you feel like they are asking the same questions over and over again in regards to what your plans are for this season or for the future, ask them what their fears and concerns are. Find out what information they're actually looking for and that would ease their fear and concern. Offer what you have. You know, you can say, I know that I'm taking these classes this semester, and this is my plan for next semester. You know, share with them what you figured out financially or where you are in navigating health problems. And then say, you know, this is as far as I've come, and invite them into the conversation to be a part of that with you.
Yeah, that's so helpful, Karen. I love this idea that you're drawing out, that conversation with our parents is super important, right? That as we are talking with them, they may be bringing some stuff up that would maybe annoy us or feel like nagging, as you mentioned earlier. But as we actually get into it, we can start to draw out what their motives are, what they're thinking, and yeah, what's even preempting the questions that they're asking. And that's just so helpful to remember, because our parents are people too. We've already talked about this, but this idea that while we're away at college and we're engaging with our ministries on campus, we're being trained in discipleship and how to engage with people and talk with people. And so utilizing those skills of asking good questions and hearing people out can be just as valuable in evangelism as they can in our conversations with our parents. And it's super helpful to consider those things and then give them the opportunity to speak into our lives with the knowledge and understanding that they do have and the wisdom that they bring from their years of experience. And I think furthermore, it's helpful to recognize that honoring them in that scenario looks like, yeah, not dismissing their ideas and thoughts and questions right out, but really trying to work with them and engage with them and address their questions and concerns and give what we do have to offer. I think that's just really helpful advice.
Mm-hmm. And one place where I really stumbled with my parents in this was feeling like I had to correct them, that I could go so far in my listening and I could accept so much of what they said. But in some ways, I felt like I did know more than they did. And it was hard for me to not judge them. It was hard for me to not try to correct them and to, you know, take my zeal, you know, my newfound zeal for the Lord, and to press it onto them.
Yeah. And I think that is really, really helpful, because sometimes we have been discipled really well all through our campus ministry. We've had really good training, you know, sometimes maybe in ways that our parents never got. Maybe they've mm-hmm. never been discipled by somebody. And I think the downside when you receive good training like that, it's called the curse of knowledge. And when you know something, it's really hard to have sympathy and empathy and remember what it was like before you knew that. So mm-hmm. I think that there's this huge humility that needs to be cultivated. Yes. Because, you know, you graduate from your campus ministry and, you know, if you're anything like me, you just think you are God's gift to humanity and you're gonna fix all the things and you're gonna, you know, point out issues in your home church and tell your parents why their theology is wrong, or, you know, all these things. And one time Dave Royce was talking in a breakout session. I think it was about honoring parents. I don't remember what situation or context he said this in, but he was doing that, you know, and his father said, you know, criticism is not a fruit of the Spirit. Yo, like, I think that's just real. And like, that's all he said. But like, man, talk about wisdom from a parent, you know, that yes, there might be legitimate things that could be improved or things that could be different, but don't you, I think it would be wrong for us to use the training we've had to then treat our parents with contempt rather than saying, okay, I've really been given a gift that maybe they haven't been given. How can I take the disciple making that I've learned and the drawing out and the caring for people and bring that into this relationship rather than, you know, just holding my parents to just an incredibly ridiculous, unrealistic standard of perfection? Because they're not only fellow image bearers, they're fellow sinners. Like that was mind blowing for me. I think in college is when I started to see my parents as people and not just like these authority figures that I held to a standard of absolute perfection. And anytime they fell short of that, oh, goodness gracious, the world is ending. And so I think to have the humility to see our parents as fellow image bearers and fellow sinners and to really respect what God has built in them. You know, they've lived, theoretically speaking, somewhere around twice as long as you have. Right. And so they've seen things. And yeah, whether they are Christians or not, there's something, you know, common grace is grace and truth that God has put in every person, regardless of whether they follow him or not. And then revealed grace is specifically those who have seen and accepted and followed Jesus Christ. And so there is common grace in all of our parents. Even the most flawed human has some level of common grace. And then if you have revealed grace in your parents, all the better. You know, that's great.
Right. Yeah, I remember counsel was given to me to accept what you can and lay aside what you're unsure of. And the phrase, you know, sifting the wheat, you know, accept the good and let the wind blow the chaff away. And I think that the benefit is that you get to draw closer to your parents. You get to join fellowship with them. You see where you're united, and you can go back to the disciples. The richness that we have in the church is that there's likely people that you know in your church who are your parents' age, and there's older, wiser people in your life that you can take that part that might feel questionable and go and work it out with someone else. You know, I did that with Bonnie Drips, who she was on a couple weeks ago. And it was just really helpful to get her perspective. She's the same age as my parents. And she was able to hear the part that I was unsure of and help me to see the value of the advice that was given to me. And she was able to help me to take the knowledge and couple it with the biblical wisdom and brought to surface the value.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. One of the things you'd mentioned, Karen, before we started recording is that sometimes students can fall on one of two extremes. One, which I think we've been talking about more, is the student can tend to feel like I am right. And, you know, if my parent says it, I'm automatically going to fight with that. I'm an adult. I do what I want. And so that's one extreme of just really having a hard time listening to any advice or having a lot of conflict. But then there's also another extreme on the opposite end where perhaps the student doesn't want to grow in independence and really just wants to, you know, just I want my parents to tell me what to do and I don't want to do anything on my own or just being very fearful of that independence and wanting to really just remain almost in the child sort of obey phase of things. And so how would you just talk to each student? I know we've talked a little bit about the first type of student, but how would you apply this universal principle to honor your father and mother to each type of that spectrum, each side of that spectrum?
Yeah, well, I would point out the fact that we are our parents for our season, but we really belong to the Lord. You know, he created us for a purpose. And there is a time when we are to be let loose. You know, there's the proverb or psalm, the arrows in the quiver.
That's a psalm. Psalm 127:4. The arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth.
Yeah. So, you know, arrows are meant to be let loose. And Genesis 2:24 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So together, they will work to fulfill the Lord's command to rule, subdue, and multiply. And so I think we can glean from that, that we don't belong to our parents. We belong to God. And so we must grow up. We must learn how to walk independently from them. And I would also remind the student of the commands of Scripture that God has given us to go, therefore, and make disciples. Like, there's parts of our life that we will be held accountable for. And so we're called to make choice. We're called to walk out our salvation and our life. And that means that we have to learn how to take the knowledge and the wisdom that God is giving to us and apply it to discern it and to walk out our life.
Yeah. And I think for the student that, you know, maybe might hear something from their parents and disagree with them, and there should probably be, you know, somewhat of a wrestling there between, like, do I do what my parents are asking me to do, or do I do what I feel is right? Especially in that adult child phase during college when you're making that transition. I've walked with a number of our summer interns who have wrestled through this question. Their parents want them to go have an engineering internship or something like that. They want to do an internship with disciple makers and do Bible studies and minister to students all summer. And it's something that requires a lot of discernment and counsel on the part of the student, and a lot of prayer as well, to try to consider, what does it look like to hear what my parents are saying, have those kind of conversations as to, well, why do you want me to have this internship? What do you value implicitly behind that? Mm-hmm. And it can be especially hard to think through if you have a parent that doesn't know the Lord. Mm-hmm. These commands that are given in Scripture do not have a caveat to them, like, children, obey and honor your parents unless they're not Christians, and then, like, you don't have to. The commands apply just as much. And so it really requires a lot of thinking, discernment, nuance to try to figure out, what does it look like to do what I'm called to do, to fulfill Jesus' commands to go make disciples? And if I'm feeling it, that I'm called into full-time ministry or something, and my parent wants me to be really successful and have a lot of money, for instance, having those conversations with a parent and graciously seeking to peaceably interact with them in as much as you can, while also doing what you feel like the Lord has convicted you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that it's important to point out that honoring our parents does not mean that we comply to their every wish and whim for our life, that we really, we are held accountable to discern, as you said. And we don't do that independently. You know, we are part of a body. And so if our parents aren't equipped to be able to help us to discern the Lord's perspective and direction, that's the value of being a part of the church and mm-hmm. seeking out counsel from people who are wiser and older than us in the church.
Yeah. So let me just walk this out as a hypothetical, and then I'd love to hear if this is what the two of you are saying or if you would caveat it. So let's say I'm, you know, Susie Senior, and I've got a big decision to make. And so how walking through honoring my parents, whether I am, you know, more conflict oriented or more fear oriented, you know, what this would look like would be thinking through the options, thinking through the Lord's perspective. You know, are there kind of your wise decision-making principles? You know, is this sin? Is it wise or foolish? Is it something I want to do? Wrestling with that with the Lord. And then coming to our parents, having the conversation with them, getting their perspective, whether they're Christian or not, just kind of trying to understand where are they coming from. If necessary, kind of optional third step, utilize the body. You know, I'm really stuck here. I'm not sure what to do. What I feel like I'm called to do is maybe different than what my parents want, or maybe it's not different, but I would just like a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking all of that into consideration and coming back with, okay, before the Lord, this is what I need to do. And this is what it means to be obedient to the Lord. But also, I don't want to be a jerk to my parents. So I might come back and say, hey, that advice you gave me was so helpful. Thank you for that. It helped me make my decision. Or it could say, yeah, I hear where you're coming from. And I'm so glad that you, you know, like the example Caleb gave, you want me to make a lot of money so that I will be stable and not live in a cardboard box. Like, I respect that. At the same time, like for this season, this internship, I really feel like is what the Lord is calling me to. And the Lord is the biggest priority in my life and the call to make disciples. And so I really love you. Thank you for caring about me, but I'm going to have to make this decision this way. And recognize that there just might not be a perfect peace with that. Is that a good sort of walkthrough process example of what you guys are saying?
Yeah, I think so. And actually, Sarah, what you described is exactly what I had to walk through with my parents coming out of college. Actually, going into my senior year of college, they had worked really hard to pay my way through college and were set to help me go to grad school. But I felt deep in the core of my heart that I needed to not pursue grad school and join staff with Disciple Makers, because my passion so much was for ministering to college students, not following the career path that I was on. And I walked through that with my parents. There were parts of it that they were just unhappy about, and it was because of their fears that I didn't have all the answers. And I stumbled a lot in that. But when it came down to hearing them out and then going back and leaning into some counsel that I was receiving and having leaders from Disciple Makers being willing to reach out and to talk with my parents, that was really helpful. And initially what it came down to was I made the choice to not pursue grad school, but to pursue staff with Disciple Makers. And I made that choice without my parents' blessing. And it was really hard. But I remember choosing to and praying, Lord, help us to come together in this somehow. And after, you know, several conversations and Disciple Makers leaders coming and talking with my parents and acknowledging my fumbles and helping me to understand my parents, hear my parents out, and for them to have some of their questions answered, really paved the way for us to come together. And so by the time it came time to graduate, my parents were fully on board and supportive of the decision. But there was a lot of, you know, navigating that and fumbling and not doing it by myself. I really relied on counsel from people at church and counsel from, you know, the staff of Disciple Makers willing to lean in.
Yeah, I think that's so helpful to walk that out. Karen, thanks for sharing that. And I just keep thinking of, you know, for students that are in a situation where their relationship with their parents might be a little bit more toxic, might be a word we could use, or their parents are maybe more manipulative or something like that, where you may feel, and it may be a reality, that your parents maybe don't have as much of your best interest in mind, or they're maybe out for them, or I don't know, there could be a number of situations. Yeah, I think a couple verses come to mind. Romans 12:18 in particular comes to mind. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So just because we have a hard relationship with our parents does not excuse us from seeking to try to honor them as best we can. And so like this idea that as far as it depends on us, we're going to try to have peace in the situation. We're going to try to do what we're supposed to do. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't line up with what the Lord's calling us to do, like we just have to recognize that we are the Lord's and that we need to run in that direction.
And we need to recognize that our parents are the Lord's too. And so if this really is what he wants us to do, then we can trust that he will help our parents too. You know, that that he will work it out for their good as well.
Yeah. And I think it is also helpful to just acknowledge that you very well may be on the exact same page as your parents with the direction of your life. We don't want to assume conflict or whatever, and we'd love for everyone to be in unity with their parents on the direction of their life and what they're feeling called to, whether that is ministry or whether that is something else. And yeah, we don't want to also indicate that going into ministry is the only way to live your life. That's just our particular experience being full-time campus ministers. But yeah, and we did also want to acknowledge those of you who do have a harder relationship with your parents and just the variety of experiences that that may cause you to have.
Yeah, I think it is good to pause and take a moment to acknowledge those who maybe have particularly difficult relationships with their parents for a variety of reasons. One scripture that I often think of is 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20, where Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come." Now, often that's really hard, especially if you've been saved in college or if you've grown significantly in your faith in college, to then go home and feel like you're the new self stuck in the old situation and feel like it's very easy to fall back into really unhealthy patterns or generational sin that can build up in families. But it's still true. You're still new. Even if you don't feel like you're new, and even if you're stuck in the old situation, you are still new. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. And he continues, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Mm-hmm. That is, Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors to Christ, God making his appeal through us. And I think this passage, even though it's not explicitly particularly about parents or families, is very relevant, because sometimes in our families, you know, for something to be reconciled, it implies that it's broken in the first place. And sometimes in families, we can have the deepest hurts, the deepest conflicts, or just the deepest layers of complexity. Sometimes, you know, these interpersonal relationship issues have been growing for 10, 15 years. But this passage really gives us hope that the what Paul calls as the gospel life is the ministry of reconciliation, that Jesus is reconciling the entire world. And so certainly our family is included in the entire world. And so I think there's just real hope in that what we're doing in all areas of life as we follow the Lord and seek to be in his image is reconciliation. So certainly we're doing that on campus with people who don't know the Lord, but particularly I think there's deep hope in this passage for our families, for no matter what is going on in your family, honoring your parents, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean going along with every particular thing, especially if there are some real difficulties. But what it does mean is seeking to love them, to care for them, to respect them because of the authority that they've given them, almost through grace to have that honor and to really believe that reconciliation is possible. You know, our parents are not this other category of, you know, God can do anything in any relationship except with our parents. That's not true. So I think it's good to pause and take a moment to acknowledge that.
Yeah. And I think before we even move on, just one more thought on that is this idea that our parents will continue to be our parents for the rest of our lives. Our brothers and sisters will still be around. In college, we have this concentrated season where, you know, we're in the same place as a bunch of different people. We've got a fellowship that we're with, and we're all kind of committed to this idea of evangelism and discipleship and Bible study and all these things. And there is plenty of opportunities for us to engage with different people on the campus, and we can choose whether or not to engage with them or not. And we're going to invest in those people for a short season of 4 years, whereas your family will be with you for as long as they're alive. And so in talking with one of our staff, Ben Hagrip, about this, he calls it the difference between our go and our grow ministry. So go being people we go to and choose to engage with, and grow being the ministry that will be with us regardless of our life situation. And so, use this time in college now. And as we're starting to talk about these things, and as you maybe start to think about this topic for the first time, if you're listening at home, use this opportunity to start trying to set up your ministry with your parents for the rest of your life, especially if they're not Christians. You would not want to in any way kind of blow the relationship now over a decision or something that you disagree with them on to the point where you would actually shut down future conversations and future opportunities with them.
Right. And what you said about investing in the relationship long term, this command to honor our parents does not expire. And so, you know, it's true that our parents are with us until they die. And so we need to practice honoring them from this point forward and build the trust with them and build the relationship in how we relate with them.
Yeah. And I think for many in this COVID season, particularly if you're living at home with your parents, how you relate with your parents is, in many ways, the testing ground, the proving ground for your faith in Jesus. You know, what do I mean by that? You know, James says faith without works is dead, you know, he's not saying you need to do good things to earn your way into heaven. He's not at all saying that. But he is saying, as you unpack that passage, that how you act really does show what you believe and what is in your heart. And so for many of us, we may find it really easy to be on campus and to do outreach or do evangelism or enter into these new relationships. But how you interact with your parents says a lot about what you believe functionally. Sometimes we can believe something with our head, you know, sort of logically, but not necessarily with our heart. And so I think especially some of our campuses have already announced that they're going to be all online this year, or others of our campuses, they say they're going to come back in person, but there is a real fear and concern of, is this going to happen again? Are we going to go home again? And I think when someone hears that this is going to be online, you might be at home for a whole another year. Just take a moment. How do you react to that? What does that stir up in your heart? And what if you had the vision of working out your salvation with fear and trembling in the relationship with your parents, with really saying, I am going to take to heart what the Lord has said, that this has been put here for my good, that this relationship is an opportunity to grow in the image of Christ and to extend the grace of the Lord to my parents. Yeah, I think asking yourself those questions could fundamentally change the way you enter and into this year. And I'd love in our remaining time to ask you, Karen, real practically, what does it look like for students in a COVID world where they are at home more to just honor their parents in the everyday? Because most of what we've been talking about right now are the big questions of life, the what's your career going to be? What's your life trajectory? And those are certainly huge moments and opportunities to relate to our parents. But what does this look like just in the everyday, ordinary, unglamorous situation of living side by side to honor our parents?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's really exciting because I think that we as believers can really take this season and run with it. I remember our pastor at the start said that he felt like God was calling families to come back so that he could strengthen the family. And so I would say lean in on the idea of investing in your relationship now for the future. And what I mean by that is going back to Jesus' example, before Jesus left, he made sure that his mom would be taken care of. In John 19, verses 26 to 27, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus had his mother's interest at heart in the moment that he was seeking to fulfill the Father's will. And earlier in his ministry, he actually rebukes the Pharisees for giving up the commandment, for leaving the commandment of God for man's traditions in the idea of Corban, which was pretty much a loophole that was in their law that allowed that funds that were originally dedicated to care for parents could be given to the temple if so desired, and thereby remit the requirement to care for parents. And so Jesus' concern over the commandment and that we love our parents is something that we need to consider for the life of our relationship with our parents. And I think that we can practice now caring for our parents' needs in the future by caring for their needs in the home now. And so, you know, in the beginning, we talked about that our parents, too, are living this COVID season and that they have their own stresses that they're dealing with and their own amounts of worry and anxiety. And most of us, I think, will acknowledge that we're pretty self-centered people. And I think in college, because we can go off and live on our own, we kind of ferment in that a little bit. and we can give in to our own desire and our own preferences very easily. But now being back in the home, looking around and seeing, what can I give? What can I do? How can I be a part of the function of this home? You might be in the habit of leaving your dirty dishes in the sink. You know, recognize that when you do that, you are creating work for somebody else. You're assuming that somebody else, usually mom, is going to pick up the dishes and put them in the dishwasher. Okay, so now instead of putting your dish in the sink, put it in the dishwasher, but go out of your way. And when the dishwasher is clean, empty it without being asked. You know, ask your parents, are there chores around the house that I can pick up that would alleviate some of your burden? What lawn care or maintenance can you do? And this might seem like menial, but to the parents, when my children do something, last night they were so cheerful in setting the table and helping get dinner together. I told them that my heart was singing with joy, because when you do that, you are displaying the gospel to your parents and showing them the fruit of their labor. You know, that all the years that they were trying to train you to be others focused and to participate in chores and to obey cheerfully, by you offering and initiating, you are letting them eat the fruit of their labor. You are essentially rising up and calling them blessed. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." So lean in and look for ways to serve your parents and train yourself to look out for their interests and their concerns now, because it won't be long. For some of you, it will come sooner than for others, depending on your parents' health and their history. But it won't be long before the table will turn and you will become a caregiver to your parents. And so practice that now. Have a generosity in your spirit towards your parents now.
I think that's great, Karen. If I could summarize what I'm hearing you say, in your everyday life at home, seek not only to not be a burden, but actively seek to be a blessing. Like when Amen. Paul, yeah, when Paul talks in Ephesians about the new life, I love when he says in 4:28, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone in need." So the principle of that whole passage is, don't just stop doing the problematic thing. You know, at home, don't just stop being the burden, leaving the dishes, you know, just, but actively seek to be a blessing. Seek to, that repentance is a whole 180, and that,
yes.
Yeah, so in your everyday life with your parents, look around your home, look at the very practical needs, because physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs are all connected. And how can you not just not be a burden, but actively be a blessing, and let that open doors to talk about your faith in Christ and your hope in the Lord and what he has done in your life?
Yes. Amen. Yeah, we can move from being consumers in our relationship with our parents to being givers, and not just with their physical needs. I mean, think about, you know, if they come off of a Zoom call or they're drained, you know, you can offer to cook a meal, but then lean in and ask them, how are you doing? You know, what kind of words of encouragement can you offer to them? I think of Ephesians 4:29, to let your speech be that which builds up. So yes, amen.
Well, thanks so much for coming and talking about this topic, Karen. I think in our conversation, there are so many great nuggets of wisdom for how we can really start to deepen and enrich the relationship that we have with our parents and really image Christ to them as we do that. So for all of you listening at home, hope that you really take some of these practical tips, regardless of your age or season, and consider what it would look like to honor your parents in the Lord, and that through that, you would find life and joy. So thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of the Disciple Makers podcast. We hope that you were challenged by this discussion on what it looks like to honor our parents, both in big decisions and everyday life. We again want to stress that the Bible's commands to honor our parents are a big deal, and we should seek to walk carefully and wisely through situations where we might be in conflict with our parents. So pray, seek out the scriptures, and seek out wise counsel as you consider what it looks like to honor your parents and image Christ to them. As always, we have resources for you in the show notes for further learning on this topic, so please check those out if you are interested. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on the Disciple Makers podcast.